Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:44 Central African time, and at the time of the morning where we join our Member of Parliament, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, beautiful blue sky day in the city of Cape Town. Very warm, nice. I think it's going to be a beautiful day for people to go to the beach and things. Well, there's a lot happening in the country. You know, we've gone to stage six now. President has deployed army to some of the power stations. Of course, because of the sabotage and things that appears to be taking place in some of these power stations. There's been a lot of incidents of crime reported all over. And there was an unfortunate incident, I think, reported in the Itegwini Durban Beach yesterday of three people being taken away by a wave, freak wave, and three drowned and 17 others. I'm told the 17 were in critical condition. There is no information on the latest as far as that report is concerned. What I can advise our brothers and sisters that on the issue particularly of the headscarf, it clearly, you know, having viewed some of the video footage and things, it's clearly not a case of that just the Muslim, those with headgear that are being targeted. But it would appear that anybody that might be having somebody or something on their head are actually targeted. And that is the requirement from a security perspective. Yes, of course, two kidnappers who attempted to go and draw money from an ATM machine were caught, of course, and the victims were also ran away, actually, so they were released, which is a good thing in any event that we may manage to save them. But also the so-called attacks on vehicles close to the Mozambican borders and things, of these criminals have also been arrested there when they hijacked the vehicle and kidnapped the driver, demanding ransom, but they've also been caught. But very importantly, I want to, and there are lots and lots of online scams that are going on, Brother Shafford, where people are advertising stuff online, and they know that you're going to go there with money, and when you are going there with money, they're holding you up and taking those money. So people need to be very mindful of these online scams. And another problem that has come to mind is those that have been, you remember over a period of time during the year, course of the year, people save for these stock fells and then they go and buy their grocery hampers and things towards the latter part of the year. And they too are becoming victims of criminals who seem to know who these people are and they wait for them outside these supermarkets and things. So these are some of the things happening. The ANC conference is continuing. And all indications are that it's a two-horse race between Cyril Ramaphosa and Zweli Mkhize. Lindiwe Sisulu is out of the race. Nkosi Zanadlamini Zuma seems to be out of the race. But, you know, Brother Shafat, it doesn't matter what happens at this conference. The infighting, the hate that exists between the parties in the ANC will continue for a long, long time until, of course, they destroy themselves. And that's the direction they seem to be heading. Self-destruction, nothing else. But in that process, they're taking the country down with them, taking people, you know, innocent people have to pay the ultimate price for it. We haven't heard government coming up, you know, gone to stage six, and it's expected it will rise, but we've never had government coming up and telling us what is their real plans that's going to work. They are talking about resolutions at NASREC, but they haven't even, you know, implemented resolutions that were taken previously in 2017. And now again, they talk about resolutions that they want to adopt. And I think that's one of the reasons why Zweli Mkhize seems to be one of the front runners, because indications are that he is more capable of ensuring that these resolutions are implemented than the faction of President Cyril Ramaphosa. But if you saw what came out yesterday or the day before, that if Cyril Ramaphosa loses, how there is a plan to launch another political party. clearly all this tells us that South Africa is in for a very, very rough ride in the next 10 years or so.
Launch.
Are you there, Brother Shafin?
Yeah, I just had some gremlins jumping in here. But, you know, if Cyril Ramaphosa launches another party, what will he call it? ANC 2.
Yeah, 2 ANC. Yeah, but clearly, apparently, I don't know to what extent he's part and parcel of it or not. But serious, you know, that he might decide to quit and others will continue. But again, you know, nothing of that sort is going to solve the problem, because remember that if they split, it means more coalitions. Coalitions at the moment are not working in the country in any event. So it's not in the best interest of South Africa or South Africans as a whole. But yes, the ANC, you know, is on, there's no doubt about it. It's on a self-destruction mode. And it seems like it will end when they are no more. Otherwise, ordinary South Africans are going to continue paying the price for this. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, if you look at the state of the economy at the moment, look at the high levels of crime, the crumbling infrastructure, there's no focus on all these. The focus is on who's going to take charge. And not as if you took charge and you've really made a difference in the lives of the people, you know. So, yes, you know. Of course, on the international platform, Nancy Pelosi, did you see her remarks? That she always knew that there was no nuclear weapons in Iraq. And wow. She knew that George W. Bush also knew that there was no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And yet, look at to what extent they went out there and destroyed this beautiful country. Look at what they've done to Libya, Syria, Iraq. Yeah, these are just some of the things that are making headlines. Of course, the Tembisa Hospital is one again on the spotlight with the poor conditions at the hospital. You know, that hospital is embroiled in a lot of acts of corruption that has been taking place there. But very importantly, the conditions at the hospital itself is shocking. And yet the government is talking about introducing the national health insurance. National health insurance success, Brother Shepherd, depends on primary health care and the facilities that you have. If the facilities are not up to standard right now, then how are you going to successfully implement the NHI?
Well, Ahmed, what Nancy Pelosi says, well, why isn't it's time to implement, you know, this reparation claim from the Americans for bringing Iraq to the Stone Ages, and then also claiming back all that money or the revenue that they've siphoned out of Iraq, all those oil that they've taken off. It's time for them to, it's pay back time. No one's doing it, Ahmed. You can't give me to this, Ahmed. Someone can take this up. Talk to me, Ahmed.
Yes, I think it's a very important point you're making there. But also, very importantly, look at the lesson you need to learn from this. How the United States of America, particularly, knowing very well there's nothing there, how they will make the world believe there's something going on there, destroy the world in front of the eyes of the entire globe. And people have not done anything now. What is the reason you will still regard the United States as credible? There's nothing. So that is why countries should stand together. Now that they know a lot of these things, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt if they did not know before. But now that you at least know it, and the United States themselves are admitting this. Remember, Hillary Clinton even admitted that they created Al-Qaeda. So if you know all these things, don't you think they should all come together to take on the United States of America and bring them down to their knees? The collapse of the United States of America is a success for the rest of the world. The success of the United States of America is the collapse of the rest of the world. We need to understand that, whether we like it or not, unfortunately. And I know many of our people live there. You know, I mean, the United States of America is made of people from all over the world anyway. But the fact of the matter is this, the United States of America's policies of divide and rule, okay, interference, state capture, regime change must, you know, all this must change. And it can only come from the rest of the world. So all those law-abiding states and nations all over the world who believe in human rights and principles and ethics and values, not that there's many of them, but they need to come together and stand together and bring the United States of America and others that colluded with them, that destroyed Iraq, Syria, and all these other countries, you need to bring them down to their knees if you want peace and security all over the world.
Now, Ahmed, I'm thinking deep here. What about the BRICS? Eh? I hope they're not another brick in the wall. Why don't they get into this? Because, you know, they're fighting for the hegemony. They're fighting to bring in a new world order, a new currency, and so forth, and put the petrodollar to bed. Why doesn't the BRICS nation show the teeth now? Can they do anything, Ahmed?
Well, it's already a threat to the West. You know, to the IMF, the World Bank, and things, it's already a threat. And I can tell you, countries that are part and parcel of BRICS must be prepared. They must be prepared for some action by the West, particularly the United States of America. And that has already started. So you must remember that no matter what happens, you're going to have great opposition to this, but it's the way forward. Doing away with the dollar, which is what they are doing, is the way forward. This BRICS, creating a BRICS bank and other countries wanting to join, is a good sign. Selling your oil in the currency of the country that you're in is a good sign. You know, becoming self-sufficient and independent is fine. Doing away with this dollar is good. It's the only way you're going to bring the United States of America to its knees. Now, remember something, the United States survives on war and civil unrest and regime change. If you look at their armament industry, 7 times more profit they made this year, 7 times over. What does it tell you how they thrive when there's division and there's war and civil unrest and things? So you need to bring them to their knees. So for the United States to survive, there has to be war elsewhere, disease elsewhere, civil unrest, regime change, infighting, protest action. You know, you're going to have these things there. Otherwise, the United States can't survive. Can you imagine if there's no war anywhere in the world? What will happen to the U.S. armament industry? Gone. Can they afford that? That is what they survive on.
Yeah, the only thing that can sort them out is a divine decree. Because you can see that people are trying here, there, and everywhere. And it seems as if, the forces cannot do anything. But inshallah, Allah will sort down, will sort all these culprits. And Ahmed, you know, as we move through, and you look at our country especially, next year, they're not giving you good news. They're telling you, fasten your belt. It's going to be a rough ride. Why must they give, you know, bad tidings, no glad tidings, Ahmed?
They don't have a plan. Simple, government does not have a plan. They are a clueless government. They are a planless government. They have absolutely no direction. For them, it's about self-enrichment, power and control. And they, like, if you remember, they said many, many years ago, they will govern until Jesus comes home. You understand? That is the arrogance and attitude of them. So they think they're going to, and I can tell you now, in come 2024, they're not going to get the majority. But they might still be in power, depending on what happens in this conference, through coalitions and whatever it is, because there are political parties that will sing their praises no matter what happens, you know. But I think what is important here to note that under the current government, they are clueless. They have no direction whatsoever. And it can only get worse. I mean, have you ever heard them coming and giving you a concrete plan to sort out ESCOM's problem in the short term and the long term? No. How long is the SAA problem going on? How long is the Denel problem going on? How long have you been hearing about them talking about infrastructure investment in this country, more and more money they're pumping money is not getting spent but going to corruption and looting in that procurement process. Nothing. How long they know about the corruption at local government level with tenders and things and they want to do nothing? How long is it that they know that the poor quality of education is taking us nowhere? We can't even match the skills needs of this country. Okay? Does it take you a rocket scientist to know that your people are leaving, your skilled people are leaving in droves? That 13% only of the population pays taxes to look after the rest of the nation? And you going and making more and more promises, you're going to increase the grants, you're going to give them basic income grant, yes. But you don't want to talk about creating a more productive nation. Let me give you a good example. They talk about expropriation without compensation, land to try and score votes. What stops this government in order to address the inequalities of the past? We are still one of the most unequal societies in the world. Now you tell me, Brother Javid, you're in charge. You're in charge of this entire country. What stops you from giving right now, with no conditions, every South African family that is in need, every South African family that is in need, including a single parent family, write down, have a cutoff date. Give every one of them a piece of land in the municipality in which they live. How difficult is that? The land, you say everything belongs to the people who live in it. You've got the land. People are homeless. They have nothing. You want to address the inequalities of the past. Give each one of them, just ask your municipalities to subdivide them. Give the land to those people and you as the municipalities concentrate on just providing the services, water, electricity and sanitation to that site. And you look at people, what they will do with that land, how they will build homes for themselves and get back their dignity and their identity. Can you imagine how much of economic growth you'll have in this country? You'll even be able to lend money to these people. Investors will be prepared to fund these housing projects and just give them their dignity back so that they have somewhere to start off. When you meet somebody on the street, brother, they no longer ask you your name. Their first question is, where do you live? So give it back to them. What stops us from giving it to them? You've got so much of state land all over the country. And you are talking about going to go and expropriate from some farmers. If you take that away, you'll have no food. But yet you have land at your disposal, but you're not willing to give it to your people. Give it to the people and look at how much of economic development you'll have straight away and economic growth. Just through those land you're giving, people will be start building.
I mean, yes, Ahmed, we've run out of time. You know, the Quran's coming up next. You are absolutely, mashallah. You have a beautiful day ahead, Ahmed. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Brother Shafa, just the last one on that online. Please, when you wanting to buy something online, be very careful because criminals are, when you're going there with money, they know you're bringing money, they're attacking you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.